Before we start, can we pray? Father, I thank you that your word is a two-edged sword, that it is able to cut right to that place where it's meant to cut to. Lord, that nothing gets in its way and it penetrates to that separation in our lives, Lord God, that place where the nerve is, Lord, it's able to touch that place. I want to thank you, Lord, that the word of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus, you are the word. And as we read the word of God tonight, we are able to be transformed because the word is Jesus and Jesus transforms our lives. Thank you, Lord, that your word is relevant and everything that we say tonight that comes from your word is as relevant today as the day it was written. And so, Lord, we give you glory for your word. And I just thank you, Father, that lives will be changed tonight, Lord God, not because of any eloquence of speech, Lord, but because of who you are and what your word can accomplish. In Jesus' name. Tonight, I'm wanting to speak to you guys. By the way, I'm Dale. I'm one of the elders in the church. I'm wanting to speak to you about really two things. And I'm hoping that it's going to just change the way that you see life. That it changes the way in which you see your circumstances. Each of us have got different circumstances that we're going through, and hopefully tonight is going to change the way that you view the world. Amen. I'm hoping also tonight that it will help us to respond differently to those circumstances. So you're going to see them hopefully differently, and the way in which you respond to them is going to be different. And that's really my prayer for tonight. That would happen. I'm wanting to start by means of introduction with really four words. The four words are offense, offense, expectation, entitlement, and fairness. And I'm hoping the slides are changing behind me as I say that. That's cool. Four words which are really just laying a foundation of why am I bringing this word to you tonight. Are really because of those four words that are so prevalent in our lives in the church. Offense, the whole idea of expectations, entitlement, and fairness. And I'm going to go through this very quickly. The sermon's title is The Burden of Blessings. And there's many layers as to why I called it that. But just keep blessing in the back of your mind, God's blessing and his provision. And we're going to firstly go through these four words, and you'll see how it ties all in a moment. For those of you at Convergence, Fred spoke a lot. Actually, he just spoke a lot, all right? Just, that's probably where I had to laugh. Ross asked one of the elders or some of the cell leaders, guys, we need to speak about these things that we've learned at Convergence. Who's willing to summarize Fred's sermon? And there was like this dead silence on the WhatsApp group. Someone, Robert de Jong, put up his hand and he did it fantastically well. But one of the things that Fred talked about, for those of you who weren't there, was he talked about the whole concept of we need to understand the times into which we are going. We need to have an expectation of what is going to happen. We need to do some expectation management. It's something which if we don't do, we are going to come for some nasty surprises. And I think Fred was very eloquent in sharing some glimpses of what we as a church and as a nation can actually be expecting in the times to come. So when it comes to offense and expectation, part of that is just tying in with Fred's sermon. Well, what is an offense or an expectation? An offense and expectation, what is that? And the definition I have is when we expect an outcome, realistically or not, and that outcome does not come to pass, we become offended. So there's a link between offense and expectations. If we have an expectation of something happening, legitimately or illegitimately, and it does not come to pass, we find ourselves offended. And I don't want you to raise your hands, but I think we can all come to some place, either in the church or in your family or in a relationship where you have been offended. And I can guarantee you the reason behind your offense is because you had an expectation which was not met. It's almost always there. Look for it and you will find it. And be wary of it. Can I give you an example? I'm going to give you two examples. One I gave this morning, but it's perhaps less effective here. Your wife's birthday is coming up. Or Yeah, your wife's birthday is coming up. And she has an expectation from her husband for some jewelry. Come on. But what does husband buy? A vacuum cleaner. Yeah. Legitimate expectation from the wife. And expectations which have not been met. When you say it, a vacuum cleaner gekoop, nee. Okay, yeah, sports. Expectation number two is you're going on a date with a guy and you're expecting the Crystal Towers Hotel, their restaurant, the Towers Hotel. That's what you're thinking of. And he takes you to drive through. It's, yeah, yes. Legitimate expectation has not been met. Guys, if I can just give you some advice, drive through, dead end. Okay, you need to be pitching a little bit higher than that. But I think what is important here is that when we have an expectation that's not met, we open ourselves up to be exceedingly offended. And I know some of you are hurting from offense. We hurt when we have an expectation of God, realistically or unrealistically, that doesn't come through for us. We have an offense with God. We have an offense with our pastor. We have an expectation, perhaps, that Ross will phone us every day and ask it, how's it going? And he doesn't get round to it, and we are offended with the church, and we decide to leave the church. We're offended with our small group who's not checking in with you all the time. Are you offended with your family who aren't doing the stuff you really have an expectation of? Is this resonating with some of you, how we develop offenses? And this happens with God, too. We really need to manage our expectations of who God is. And we need to have a biblical understanding of Jesus and of God. The third word I want to look at is a thing called entitlement, which is very rife at the moment. Because of A, B, and C in my life, I am entitled to D, E, and F. Rife at the moment. I'm entitled to a free and quality education. Because of the corruption in the government. Come on, people, there's so much money floating around. Why can't I get this? I understand that. There's an sense of entitlement. You know, when you become qualified, in your position, you think you have entitlement too. You think because you are a medical professional that you have certain entitlements. And some of those things you do have. But I think often we have this idea of, the world owes me something because I've put in a whole lot. And sometimes I think we look at God and we say, Lord, I'm serving you fervently and therefore I can expect something from you. You know, my parents went through a very difficult time in the last 3 months. And my mom very, very pertinently just voiced out her anger and said, you know what, we serve the Lord. We're praying. And there's the sense of, and can I say it is a sense of entitlement? That there's this expectation that I deserve something because of my performance? Entitlement is how the business world works. If you do something, you get a reward. Surely, that's how it works, eh? Fairness, this is important, the fourth word. And I'm just laying a foundation here, so you don't need to take all this in necessarily. Fairness, comparing what we have to what others have in light of their conduct and performance. Very rife in the church, especially when it comes to blessing, provision, and material wealth and gain. Let's look at David in Psalm 73, verse 3. I think it's up on the screen. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So fairness is one of those difficult things where we kind of say, but hang on a moment, look at this guy. He's not doing what I'm doing, and yet there is so much provision in his life. Have any of you been in that place? I see it. I kind of think, how is it possible that the people who are so corrupt are gaining so much in a material sense? And we tend to compare like this within the church. I know of people who kind of say, but, you know, I can't understand why he's so blessed and I'm not. And if we're really real with ourselves here, we will understand that this comes more often than we would be willing to admit within our small groups or even to our accountability partner. But it's sitting in our hearts. Fairness, unfairness or perceived unfairness fuels offense. The more we feel that I have a sense of entitlement and I'm not receiving, I have an expectation but I'm not receiving and this guy is receiving, I start to build an offense within my heart. Guys, we need to be very careful of building those kind of walls within our hearts. Fairness. Now, fairness is a very strong thing. The next slide talks about the neuroscience of this. And some of you guys are at medical school and perhaps in the psychology arena. This is just on a slightly different level. This is a book was written by David Rock. He's a neuroscientist. Some of you read his book, The Brain at Work. Kind of, yes? Okay, good. All right. So he's kind of a legend when it comes to neuroscience, okay? Now, what he talks about is there's this professor, her name is there, Golnaz something something, and this is an assistant professor at Carnegie Mellon University who did studies on fairness, okay? What they found is that there are two areas in the brain which are quite involved when it comes to a good feeling and a bad feeling. Now, the good feeling is the striatum. It's an area of the brain where when you feel something is fair or you have a positive reaction towards something, if we do an MRI scan on these patients, the striatum lights up. So you can say, the striatum, positive type of involvement. So the striatum lights up. That's cool. All right. Now let us give this person a feeling of unfairness. Then the area of the brain is called the anterior insula. Now you don't have to remember this. This is just for extra. It's for you, basically. All right. But the anterior insula lights up when we experience unfairness, social injustice. It lights up. Interestingly enough, it's the same area that lights up if you experience a disgusting taste. So if you taste something which is like really bad, you know, it's kind of Fear Factor stuff. You know, that kind of nasty 1,000-year-old egg. Have you watched those Fear Factors? They seem to have like a massive supplies of 1,000-year-old egg. I don't know what it is, but it's nasty. Now, when you eat that stuff, the anterior insula lights up, and it's the same area of the brain that lights up when you experience unfairness. Weird and bizarre. Gustatory disgust, when you're eating something that is really nasty, is the same thing that you experience when there is a social disgust, an unfairness. The president is doing this and that, and you feel like this godly anger within you because there is an unfairness that is happening. This area of the brain lights up versus your pleasure center on the striatum. Now, this is interesting. Guys, listen to this. If I were to take 10 rand and I were to say to my oldest boy, you are getting 5 rand. Are you happy? Cool. What's James getting? He's getting 5 rand. That's the second boy. Both of you guys are getting the equal amount of money. You've got 5 rand. What can you buy with 5 rand? You can buy 10 gumballs, okay? They measure life in gumballs, okay? It's quite cool. There's 50 cents a gumball, so you can buy 10 of them. Do you know that if I were to give the younger boy out of 20 rand, 15 rand, and the older boy still give him 5 rand, there's a sense of disgust. Unfairness has happened here. Do you know that he would probably rather go without? No, I don't want anything. But he must also get nothing. Have you experienced that? We will rather go without than what we allow another person to prosper. So strong is the unfairness wiring within our heads. And I'm sharing this with a reason, because it is the way you are made. It's the natural order that tends to say, now, well, you know what? If I can't have it, then he can't have it. And then I'm happy. Nobody gets anything and everybody loses. This sounds familiar. Hey, some of you are like saying, yeah, I realize what this comes from. Stronger impulses of unfairness are compared to going without, having lack. I'd rather go without than experience unjustness or unfairness in life. It's how we are wired. The next scripture is Matthew chapter 20. You guys know the scripture. There is this farmer who goes, he has a vineyard and he needs work to be done. So he goes out to the marketplace and finds a person who is willing to work. It is the third hour of the shift. And he says, look, we're already pretty much into the day. Are you willing to come and work for me for $100? Cool. I will come with you and work for you $100. Now the farmer checks, there's too much work to do. We need to bring in another laborer. Okay, and the guy's like, hey, cool, yeah, we're going to get someone to help me with this work because I'm really struggling here. So he goes out and he finds the next guy. Now it's the sixth hour, and he says, listen, will you come and work for me? 6 hours left of the shift. Will you come and work for me? I'll pay you $100. And this, I'm just thinking about, what's this first guy doing? Hey, dude, how much are you getting paid? About 75? No, I'm getting $100. Huh, okay. Now the work continues, and there's another laborer who comes in at the ninth hour, and there's even one who comes in at the 11th hour. Now, the 11th hour is like 1 hour out of clocking out of your shift. Those of you nurses, this is like after you've worked 11 hours, okay? It's time to clock out. Elise, weet waarvan ik praat. It's the 11th hour. Guy gets paid $100. Now, this morning, the guys were all holy, and they were saying, yeah, that's fair, that's fair. No, that's not fair. I don't know who of you who are working a shift worker would be happy with someone coming to just in help for that last hour, whereas you've been slogging the whole day, and now on the 11th hour, someone comes into work. That's not fair. I don't know about you, but I think that's unfair. My brain, my anterior insula is lighting up and telling me, that's not right. This can't be. Justice must be served. Am I right? The kingdom of God works differently to the world. Bottom line, and you need to realize that the kingdom of God does not work the way you think it would, because that thing freaks me out. I don't want to be in that place. I'm a fair guy. I want fairness. It's something that I want to receive. Now, remember, we're talking in the context of offense, expectations, and this whole thing about entitlement when it comes to blessing and what you have physically at the moment. It's unfair. Now, look at Romans 12, verse 2. This is one of the take-homes. We need to have our minds renewed and not think like the world thinks, but we need to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. It's not going to work. The kingdom of God does not work like the world. Make peace with it. It doesn't work like the world does. It's got different laws here. And Jesus is very, very clear on that. He says you need to be transformed. Do not be conformed to what this world is teaching you. You need to be transformed. So how do we see blessing? Now I'm going to move on a little bit and just talk about how is it that we perceive the blessing of God in our lives. When we speak about blessing, what is it that what's the first image that comes into my mind? And the first image is this of a gift. That's for me. A blessing equals gift. Parcel, package, ribbon, klein kaartjie, Dale. Yeah? That's kind of how most of us experience a blessing, is in the form we think gift. Biblical gifts are different to gifts that you would find on your birthday. Now, when I have a birthday, okay, before I go there, if you have children one day, have you heard the scripture that children are a gift? Have you heard the scripture which says that children are a blessing? Now, can I tell you this? That the gift of children is not the same as your pakkie biltong which you get on your birthday. Your pakkie biltong, wat jy oopmaak for the men here, we always get a pakkie of biltong. Yeah, pakkie biltong, this is awesome. Someone was thinking of me, free gift. Woo! Children are not like that. It's not like your bottle of perfume which you get on your birthday for the ladies. It's not the same. Is it a blessing? Yes, children are a blessing, but not in the same way as what the biltong is a blessing. Can we? You guys don't have children. You've got no idea what I'm talking about here. Just one day when it's 3 a.m. and you're standing with your little baba next, trying to get the baba to sleep, you're going to learn this dance. Has anyone learned this dance? There's some moms in the audience. You're going to say, this at the moment is exceptionally painful. It is exceptionally difficult to raise children. Is it a gift? Absolutely. Is it always as pleasant as that pakkie biltong? The answer is no. The reason is because God's idea of gift is different to your idea of gifting. It looks completely different. Children are an amazing, amazing blessing. But can I tell you this, that it is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life is to raise a child. It is the most difficult thing in the world. I've often said it, and I say this now because they're not in the room. I would rather go through medical school again. It was exceptionally difficult. Someone's got to tell you this. One day when you're sitting in counseling, don't tell you someone didn't tell you that to raise a child is hard work. Is it a gift? Absolutely. Is it going to move you to tears? It's going to move you to tears. Is it going to be the toughest thing you've ever done? The answer is yes. Is it a gift? Is it a blessing? The answer is yes, and that's the key. Is the blessings of God do not come packaged in the way you think they are. Let's move on. We've got to, otherwise we're going to be here all night. I love my kids. Just by yeah, how awesome are they? One of my good friends said the blessing in having children is the character growth that you devise, that you get out of it. I know that what a blessing my children have been for me because I'm no longer selfish. Can I tell you that? It's something, I still have a lot of selfishness in me, but I'm not half as selfish as I used to be because you just don't have that kind of, and that is the blessing of God within that space. Wait for it, it's awesome. Material gain is what we often think when we think of blessing. Wealth is what we think of when we think of blessing. Some of us. Health is what we think of when we think of blessing. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed financially. May you be, you know, with that. That's kind of the things which we think of. Gifts, wealth, material possessions, health. In fact, when somebody coughed earlier or sneezed, the immediate response was, bless you. Now, why do we say that? There are a number of theories. Apparently, when the plague, bubonic plague, came into Europe in the earliest part of the 20th century, there was one of the first symptoms was a sneeze. So if someone sneezed, you're like, oh, my word, he's got the plague. Bless you. Bless you. Whew, that was a close one, you know. It's just like, yeah, it's my allergies, you know, that type of thing. But the fact is that health is often something which we perceive. In other words, good health is a blessing. You understand where I'm getting at? That's good health is the blessing. Yeah. What else do we perceive as a blessing? A rubber stamp, God's approval of our plans, is the blessing of God. Now, I want to stop here just for a moment, and I'm going to get controversial on you, and it's just planting a seed. There are two types of spiritual manipulation which you find rife within the church. One of them is deciding the route you're going to go and then asking the blessing of God on it when you haven't consulted him in the first place. And many people go down that road where they've already decided in their heart, this is what I'm going to do, but I just need the blessing of God to come after me. It's spiritual manipulation and it is evil. We need to first go to God and say, what is your plan for my life? I'm willing to follow where you go, and where you go, I am blessed because I'm in the will of God. But we must be very careful of on every single project and every little thing that we do that we ask the blessing of God before we have gone there to ask him what is his plan. It's spiritual manipulation. Bless my plans. Bless my plans. In fact, Jesus came to the, he was after the Spirit of the Lord descended like a dove, and the Father said, I'm well pleased in you. He was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he was tempted in all the ways that we are tempted. But he was led at some stage to the point of the temple, and the devil says to him, throw yourself down here. I mean, Jesus will give his angels, at least God will give his angels charge over you and not allow your foot to be crushed on the stones. And Jesus says, do not test the Lord your God. Testing the Lord your God is spiritual manipulation. It means we are doing our own thing and just willy-nilly trying to get the blessing of God onto our program. Be careful of that. Pray, 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 pray. Ask God, is this what you want me to do? And in that, there will be blessing within his will. The other part of spiritual manipulation is this. And this is a controversial one. The Lord does speak to us. He does speak to us, and he may tell you to do something. But very often we go off on our own tangents. we unwisely go on a specific route, and then we know that we must be accountable to somebody, bless you, accountable to somebody. And so we go to that person and we say, I really believe that the Lord said that I need to do this and that. Now, the difficulty there is that it's very difficult if you are the person who is being asked to be accountable to go against, but the Lord hath said. Many people have done very foolish things, and they have come to me and said, Dale, you know what? The Lord has said I need to do this and that. And then I'm like, yo, this is unwise. This is unwise. But the person has taken the words, but the Lord has said, or the Lord has blessed me in order to do this. Meanwhile, they're not acting in accountability. But because they've used the words, the Lord has said, who am I now to go against that? Now, I'm not saying that God cannot speak to you very clearly. But when it comes to being accountable to somebody, I would rather go to my accountability partner and say to him, you know what, I've not made up my mind about this. I'm really feeling very strongly that I need to do this and that. I want you to pray with me that this is indeed the will of the Lord. It's a change. The moment someone comes to me and just says, I really believe the Lord says this, then you kind of, it nullifies my effect on their life, that I can actually help them in accountability. So be careful of that kind of spiritual manipulation. The blessing of God is not a rubber stamp. It's not something that Jesus just comes and stamps on everything that happens. The question is how often are we offended when God does not come through as we have expected him to go through, and we've set it up all ourselves, and then we somehow become offended with God? Do you see how you set yourself up for offense, and that you're going to fall from grace and fall from his place? I am blessed. This is a big one. When all is physically and materially well in our lives, we say we are blessed. Hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. Meaning, everything is well physically and materially in my life at the moment. Nothing's rocking the boat. I'm blessed. And you're right, that is blessed. But I think we're limiting ourselves. And you'll see what I'm getting to in a second. All is physically and materially well in our lives. The other thought that we have about blessing is someone has blessed me with a weekend away or blessed me with a guitar, which you are welcome to do. One does not simply own enough guitars. Yeah. And you're quite right, we are blessed when somebody gives Phil's smiling. Yeah, he knows. What I can say here is we are blessed in the things that we receive materially. We are blessed when we are physically and materially sound. Yeah, that's completely right. My concern is that we have narrowed our concept of blessing to only mean those things that are positive, nice, comfortable to me. Then I'm blessed. And yes, those things are blessed, but we have kept those things to be this. If everything's great, the gift, if it's great and it sparkles, then it's blessed. If it's new and it's free and it's given to me, it's blessed. If I'm healthy, it's blessed. If everything is positive, are you getting what I'm saying? Is this is our understanding of what it means to be blessed. And I think we are selling ourselves short of what God has in store for us. We narrow blessings down to mean we perceive God has been good to us. This is a huge one. Someone will say to me, you know, God has been so good to me because I have received this. I got a job, I got a promotion, I got a new car, etc., etc. The question is if you didn't get that job, does that mean God is not good? And that's, for me, that's the crux tonight. We need to step away from the place of looking at the hand of God when it comes to material things in our lives, and rather look towards the heart of God. We all say it all the time. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. But we only say that when there is some form of reception on my side, something that I've received which tells me that God is good. And if I don't say that, then I rather don't say anything. You know, when I don't get the promotion, God is good. This is just, it's changed my life because it makes us look at the blessings of God from a different point of view. Watch this. When we do not experience God's physical provision or even breakthrough, does that mean that God is no longer good? If you look in the Old Testament and we're looking at obedience, you'll find that the Old Testament model, I read the Action Bible to my kiddies. Any of you got the Action Bible? Awesome. Bring it to church. It's great. Sometimes you need to have a look at the pictures. They're pretty awesome. But it's probably the best children's Bible out there. Write it down when you have kids. Buy them the Action Bible. It's cool. And you'll find that obedience in the Old Testament was followed. If the Israelite nation were obedient, they were given prosperity. They were given conquest. They were given victory. They were given prosperity, provisions. They were given everything. We can move to the next slide. There we go. Reward, success, conquest, prosperity, wealth, and victory. Sorry, I'm not giving giving you any cues. It's cool. All right. In the Old Testament, however, you'll find it. Have you seen it? If you read the Old Testament, up and down. Then the Israelite nation is obedient, and it goes well with them. Then they turn to idols. And my little 10-year-old boy, James, is like, oh, not again. Just like, yeah? And it's the cycle up and down of obedience equals prosperity, wealth. Watch the what this is Old Testament. Disobedience results in plunder, suffering, defeat, loss, slavery, judgment, punishment, suffering. I said suffering twice. Now in the New Testament, let's be honest. Many, many people who are fervently serving the Lord, yet they are not experiencing material favor, financial breakthrough, health, and prosperity. There are many people who are serving the Lord faithfully who are somehow not receiving the material things which we so easily say, that's blessed. There are many people, many, many, many people who are experiencing that. And you know what? We won't be the first. If you look at the disciples, or let's take a good example, John the Baptist, man serving the Lord fervently. There was probably, he was named as the greatest of the prophets. This is the guy who was like willing to be radical. He was like the voice crying in the wilderness. He was radical. He was right out there, you know. He was the guy who jumps up and shouts, woo, he was Philip. He was that guy. Yeah, it was fervent. There we go. It's there. The person who was serving the Lord fervently. I want to ask you, how blessed did John the Baptist end up? Not much. Guys, this is a reality check for us because it speaks about the blessing of God. Think about it. This is a guy who was serving the Lord fervently, and yet he ended up giving his life for the cause. How blessed is that? Think of the disciples. There were 12 disciples. 10 of them were martyred and suffered immensely for the purposes of Christ. The exception was Judas Iscariot and John. All the others were either crucified or they were really hurt in dying. It wasn't, you know, euthanasia type stuff we're talking about here. We're talking about cruel deaths. So this is the blessing for serving. And this is reality check, people. I'm not wanting to try and scare you tonight. All I'm saying is that we need to change our perception of what blessing is. And the punch is coming. The punch is coming. So you need to hang with me. In the New Testament, we find that very often, in contrast to the Old Testament, fervently serving the Lord was met with exactly the opposite. Often intense suffering, often intense persecution, often lack. If you look at people who fervently serve the Lord, often there is a persecution which results in some form of bodily harm or even death. We need a wake-up call, church. The blessings of God go beyond what we perceive them to be, and we'll get there. God is good. God remains good, and I'll convince you of that. Has God changed is the answer. Has he changed from the Old Testament where he where there was obedience, there came material reward? The answer is no. The answer is no. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. Let's read just together this next little bit, which I needed to just put in there to get my thoughts together. Is it possible that blessing includes those circumstances that appear to be the exact opposite that we would classify as being blessed? That it has more meaning than our comforts, our material reward? Is it possible that the blessing of God is more than just as what we think is blessing? The new car, the gift, the wealth, the material gain, our comfort. Is it more? The answer is yes. Now we're going to get into some scriptures which are so amazing for me. When we are in difficulty, lack, hardship, we notice this, that there comes a hopelessness. How many of you become hopeless? I become hopeless quite a lot when I experience hardship, difficulty, and lack in my life. I become, Lord, like I was saying, my mom and dad went through a tough time these last couple of months, and it's really been a horrendous time. And my mom would say, I really, Dale, I'm trying, but I'm losing hope. I don't have hope. I'm struggling. Most of us respond that way when our material or our physical or our financial or our comforts become attacked. We lose hope very quickly. Watch what the Bible says. This is my favorite verse in the whole Bible, Romans 5 verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character produces hope. In the exact place where we are about to lose hope because we think the blessing of God has been removed, it's exactly that place where hope is born. It's where we experience the blessing of God is not always in those places where we are experiencing physical abundance and the blessing we think it is. The blessing lies in that place of tribulation and difficulty and suffering. It's just very difficult to see it. We need to embrace. This changed my life. It really changed my life. When I was struggling with alcohol addiction 5-6 years ago, this scripture changed my life because it said, what you are going through now is going to produce a hope within you. The verse after this says this is a hope that doesn't disappoint. And it doesn't. But it's born out of a place of intense blessing. It's not the place of airy-fairy reward, which is temporal, which blesses you for a moment. The Bible speaks about the place of tribulation, which is a place of intense blessing and hope that is within you. He says, glory, count it all blessing if you find yourself in different trials and tribulations. We should actually, when the tribulation comes, you should say, blessing is on upon me. Yo, I tell you, this is just, it shifted my life because when I encounter difficulty now, one has a different perspective of how God is in fact blessing you through difficulty and suffering. It's amazing. Romans 8:28, look at this. Romans 8:20 says, it says, all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Many of you have heard this thing that it says, not all things are good, but all things work together for good. This is true. The Bible says that everything that happens to you as a believer, and that's the important part, if you're not a believer tonight, you're in trouble. Because as a believer who is called in Christ Jesus, everything works together for good. Read, everything is a blessing. Everything. Everything. The loss, the difficulty, the tribulation, the guitar which you get given as a gift, the Pucky Biltong as well, and even the vacuum cleaner which you get given as a gift. The McDonald's is also not bad at all. All things work together for good. All things are blessed to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. The outcome and the way we experience it is not always comfortable to us. That's important to note. It says all things work together for good. We read, It's going to be blessed with me financially. It's going to be blessed with me in my health. It's going to be blessed for me. The problem is there is that we have reverted back to that narrow definition of what indeed is good within my life. Sometimes it's good for me to actually experience some form of difficulty, because without it, I'm not going to gain character and perseverance, and through it, hope. I was really blessed to attend a two-day Global Leadership Summit. It's called the GLS, which is presented by Willow Creek, a massive church in the United States, in Chicago. And they had a speaker on Friday afternoon, this past Friday, a young minister who's working in the Middle East. And when the Syrian crisis happened and there were refugees fleeing from Syria by the thousands, this pastor happened to notice on one morning that there were 600 families outside the gates of his church. Now, this is a chaos. This is a problem. This is disaster. This is, oh, what do? We can't feed these people. This pastor said he didn't sleep for nights and nights and nights on end because the need was just so great. Once they'd sorted out the needs of one, the next one came, and the next one came, and the next one came. Overwhelming. It didn't fit what the church had on their calendar. You know, this kind of doesn't fit in with what we had planned on our year plan, if you know what I'm saying. This is just like, you know, and it's messing in with his family life. He didn't see his wife and his kids for long because there was a need. What struck me was is that this guy, in his video, says, you know what I came to realize is that these refugees are a gift from God. It's awesome. How can this guy who sees the pain of people coming and disrupting his entire life, and yet he's got the vision, he was 23, 24 years old, and he has the maturity to see that this thing which has happened to us is in fact a gift from God. It's awful in the moment. It's terrible. Can't stand it. It is the worst thing possible. But this guy, he sees, you know what? This is an amazing gift of God. It gives, why? It gives his congregation the opportunity to really be the hands and feet of Jesus, and that's what blessing is. We need to move to that place where we get away from blessing always means that I'm going to like it. Blessing is more than that, people. Yo, it moved me to tears. Let's look at the Beatitudes. This is just amazing. Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. Jesus says, blessed are. And there are the things which Jesus says, you are blessed if those are what's happening to you. The second one, blessed are those who mourn. When do we mourn? When someone has died. Blessed is that person. You know what we as a, and what I do, I mean, I'm a doctor and I pray for a lot of patients. We experience the blessing, or we say it is blessed if the person has come out of that place and they are restored to health. That's a blessing. Person passes away? I don't know. This is a reality, people. We pray for people all the time. And some, I don't know why, but some people, they don't get healed. Jesus says it's blessed when you mourn, when you have loss. Wow. We are blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know what? The only person who hungers and thirsts for righteousness is a person who's living in a world which is unrighteous. Blessed are we at the moment as we pray for our country, which is in a state of disarray and unrighteousness. Are we blessed? Absolutely. That's what the word says. It says we are blessed for when we thirst and hunger for righteousness. You don't thirst and hunger for righteousness when everything's cool, when everything's blessed. You thirst for righteousness when everything is not cool, when everything is not going your way. Can you see where I'm getting at with this? We need to shift our minds around the blessings of God. Blessed are the merciful. When are you merciful towards someone? It's when someone has done something severely wrong to you, and you are legitimately allowed to wipe that person or to pronounce judgment over them. And I'm getting serious tonight, guys, so I'm sorry if it's a bit heavy tonight. But when you show mercy, you only show mercy to somebody who's really wronged you. The Bible says it's in that situation that you are blessed. Not when someone has been right to you and cool and blessed you in a material sense. That too. Do you get that? That too? But specifically, Jesus is talking about the place where you have been wronged and where you show mercy. It blows me away. Blessed are the peacemakers. You see where I'm getting with this? When do we have a peacemaker? It's when we are at war. Blessed is the person who is the peacemaker. Why? Because there is such a richness within that to kind of be the peacemaker in that kind of situation. It's that place where we should say, "Woo-hoo! I am blessed because I'm able to step into this war zone." No, we're blessed when we've got peace. Yes, we're blessed when we have peace. Don't get me wrong. But don't limit your idea of what a blessing is to only that place which feels comfortable to you. I'm saying it over and over again because I'm not getting this. I'm not getting this yet. Blessed are those who are persecuted. For they, the Bible says, they will inherit the kingdom of God. We need to look, and there's the key. The things which we are experiencing as exceptionally difficult in our lives now are blessings, not so much in the moment, but there will be fruit in generations to come and in your life to come. You know, when my wife was struggling with me being an alcoholic, you know what? There was a sense that we were hopeless, but we persevered through, and there was deliverance and being set free. You know that the fruit in Karine's life now is, she was never a woman like she is now. And those of you who know my wife will know what a powerful woman of God she is. But it would not have happened if she had not gone through the trial which happened to be there. Was it a blessing? Yes, it was a blessing. That which the devil had intended for bad, Jesus took it round and turned it into for good, and therefore he made that situation a blessing for us. I trust nobody more than my wife. And believe me, before the time that we were married, we're now married for 15 years, and before that time, she was not the person that she is now. Now there's the kind of thing where I trust her more than I trust anybody else. And it's because the blessing of God has started to bear fruit in her life. You know, there's a book on spiritual leadership which talks about greatness. And I'm gonna divulge a little bit here. Greatness, they say, is, and we can think about the definition of that, but if you look at the great leaders of our time, the people who really stand out, the great leaders, almost all of them experience some form of difficulty in their lives. Massive difficulty, rejection, persecution, imprisonment on Robben Island for 27 years. The comment that's made in the book is that had difficulty eluded those people, greatness would have eluded them as well. If Nelson Mandela had not spent 27 years on Robben Island, he would not have been the statesman that he was. And the same is true within a spiritual context. If you're wanting to move forward in the spirit, you must be ready to grit the blessing that God has for you, because it's in there where you grow in character and where you're able to stand in the last days. You know what? When the temptations and the persecutions come in the last days, I would like to be found standing, because I've been through the blessings of God which have prepared me for this very time, where I can stand up and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's that place where we need to get to. It's that blessing which feels bad at the moment, but it gets better. So here it is. Blessing has very little things to do with your material comfort, gain, and well-being, and everything to do with the purposes of God being manifest in your life at any cost. That is what blessing is. Jesus Christ wants to manifest himself through you and bless you to that extent. And that is what blessing is. It's got nothing or very little to do with what you have. Me, myself, and I. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Material blessing, this blew me away. And this I got from the Action Bible. Really. In fact, material blessing, or the things we have, can be the very thing that is preventing true blessing in our lives. Now, I want to illustrate this with Jeremiah 40, verse 4. Jeremiah was a guy who went through intense pain. This guy was hardcore. The poor prophet, you know, he was giving like bad news all the time. To Jerusalem, saying, look, Babylon is coming. Babylon is coming. It's going to overtake us. We are going to exile. It's going to happen. Don't even try and fight against it. And they, do you think they liked it? No, they didn't. They threw him in the pit, in the miry clay. They put him in there for a bit. Then they put him in the dungeon. And he was being, really, Jeremiah did not have a great life. It was like, it was hectic. So what happens is, Babylon comes to take away Jerusalem. And a soldier comes up to Jeremiah and he says to him, "We know of you. We know that you tried so hard to sway the Jerusalem people to actually just submit to us and not to fight. We know that your God, that you are faithful to your God. So I have the orders to basically say, come with me to Babylon and look at it. It says, I will look after you." What that meant was, is Jeremiah's blessing had arrived. Now watch this. Jeremiah could have gone into Babylon and lived in the lap of luxury for the rest of his life. He could have had all the creature comforts that his heart would have desired. It would have been a palace. It would have been massages daily, three times a day, you know. All the food he could eat, warmth, comfort, material well-being, wealth, health, prosperity. All those things which are perceived as being blessings. Now, Ross spoke to us a while back and he said there are some people in our church who need to be weary, and perhaps it's more for the morning service, but I'm going to say it here as well, that there are some things that appear to be blessings, but they are not of God. And we need to steer ourselves away from them, because often those things keep us out of the presence of God. And Jeremiah, being the godly man that he was, he said, no, I'm going to stay here in Jerusalem and care for the remnant that is here, because the purposes of God need to be served in my life. That's where I'm going to stay. And Jerusalem was burnt to the ground. There was nothing. In fact, after how many years did they come back? That place still looked burnt. They really burnt it. And Jeremiah decided he's going to stay there. And very often, you know, I've got to be honest, I would have said, "Hey, here's my bags. Yeah? Where's my ride? You know, do I get one of those little chariot things? You know, because Lord, my blessing has finally arrived. Woo! After all these years of suffering, Lord, thank you. I didn't even expect this." But Jeremiah doesn't. Jeremiah doesn't do that. Jeremiah comes to that place and he says, "You know what? I know that I need to fulfill the will of God in my life. I know what it is to be blessed. Thank you very much." And he stays. He stays with him. In fact, after a while, then they do go to Egypt, and then some other stuff happens to him, which is not so cool. But be that as it may, I think it's important that we don't allow our material blessings to become the excuse that God cannot use us. We miss the true blessing of God, our growth in Him, and the opportunity to participate in His plans, often for the very reasons. You know, many people pray for many years, and I'm stepping on toes, for jobs. They pray for children. And then that thing which is given to them, or which they receive, becomes the excuse not to be used by God. So you pray for years. We're praying for a kid. And the moment the kid comes, gone is God, gone is church, gone is any kind of involvement in His plans. And it becomes how sad is that? So be careful if you have material blessings which are in fact keeping you from the very thing that God has predestined you to be in. It's actually a better place to have lack, because then you're able to be blessed by God. Some people, and I want to say it here, Ross has also given this word, is that we do not leave enough margin in our life. We are so blessed, materially and otherwise, that we don't have any margin to be used by God. It is ungodly, and I'm going to say this now. When we say, "Hoe gaan het met jou?" "Yes, nee, ek's besig, hoor, ek's besig. You know what? Where is God going to be able to use you? You need to have some space so that God can use you. "Now I've got space for you. What can we do? Are you able to?" "Yes, I am." We need to create margin in our lives to be used by God. And very often the material things which are perceived as blessings are exactly that thing which keeps us from doing the purposes of God in our lives. Make your life uncomplicated. Make your life uncomplicated. It's so that you can be used by God. Is your material blessing so great that your dependency on God is not needed? You know, there are very few people who really depend on God in our community for everything. Create that space. Create that pocket of dependency on God in your life. It's amazing. Now, I want to finish with one or two things here. Blessing is, of course, clearly material, financial, and health. There's nothing wrong with that. Can I say that again? that the things which we receive from God in a material sense, there's nothing wrong with that. But don't limit yourself that when you don't have those things that you think you are unblessed. You are blessed. Even in the difficulty, it's perhaps what God is needing to do in your life at this time, and you need to say, Lord, I'm going to learn this lesson as quickly as possible so that I can move on to the next thing. I don't want to be going around the mountain for 40 years. Lord, I'd rather day take, how many days was the journey? 11-day journey, eh? Think so? Yet they keep going around the mountain. They want to learn the lesson. But it's not only those things. Everything in our lives is blessing, and the purpose of the blessing is to serve Him and His kingdom. I want to finish with one or two thoughts. Are you guys still with me? You're not asleep yet? Okay. It's like a hard word, this. And I've preached it twice today, so it's like, oh, it's a double burden. The burden of blessing. The one thing is, if you have a material gain in your life, the purpose of that material gain is not for yourself. It is for the benefit of the church. It is for the benefit of believers. Make space if you have material wealth. There are many people in our church who have got material wealth, gain, skills, things that they can give. It is not for you. It is for the building of the kingdom. So make yourself available to be used by God in the kingdom. This is amazing. The blessings of God are transgenerational, and it'll come in there as well. If you look at Abram, the next scripture, I think it is in, there we go, Genesis 12. It says to Abram that he's got this massive blessing, etc., etc., but the last verse is important. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In other words, the blessing that came upon Abram is transgenerational. There is something about the blessing that we receive in our lives which is not limited to who I am. It is limited to legacy, past me. Moses did not enter the promised land. You guys know that. Was Moses blessed? Absolutely, but for the purposes of the kingdom. It's bigger than who you are. We need to start thinking larger than just my little world and where I need to be blessed, Lord, and how, when's my breakthrough going to come in? It may never come if that's what God needs in your life to serve His purposes for Him. Transgenerational. I really believe God's going to be talking to us a lot about the legacy we are leading for the generation, because there may only be one or two after us. We need to be building the blessing in that sense, into the generation. You may not even see the fruit and the result of God's plan and blessings on your life, but you should not be discouraged. Right until the end, even if it ends in death for you, you know that there is a blessing within the kingdom. It's bigger than who you are. It's bigger than what. So if you never see the blessing in a physical comfort sense, do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. I remember this talk in Convergence. Were some of you guys there? Okay, Heinrich Titus told the story of how four generations up from him, there was a farmer who blessed his grandfather with a car and allowed him to study. Little did the grandfather know that that entire family would serve the Lord fervently afterwards. It was so tragic that this man started to become quite despondent and saying, but Lord, Where are you coming through for me? And there is an amazing family serving the Lord fervently as a result of what he did. Sacrifices, hardship, difficulty. Was he blessed? Absolutely. Because you've got this legacy behind him of people that are fervently serving the Lord. Think of that the blessings of your life are not only for the church, but they are also for your children and for the generations who come after you. Blessings in the New Testament are material. It's true, you can be blessed with things, but almost entirely and almost always, God is so much more interested in your spiritual things, in spiritual wealth, in spiritual health, in spiritual maturity. And it's in that you are exceedingly blessed. And the best way to get spiritual maturity is going through a little bit of a tough time. Sorry about it, but yeah, that's just how it works. And we need to look at difficulty differently. It's easy to say, it's difficult to do. Now, the last bit I want to go through, this is just mind-blowing. Should we wait for God's blessing? Do we need to wait for the blessing of God? In other words, God's going to bless me. I understand that he's going to bless me materially and physically and so on, but I'm not going to hang on to that. I know that God's going to bless me through everything that happens in my life. All things are going to be blessings because they are working together for good for his kingdom. Lord, when is this going to come? When is it going to happen? Look at the scripture, Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Done. It has been done. Past tense. It has been done. It has been perfected. In fact, most of the promises of the Old Testament where it talks about blessings, Louis Giglio believes, and I believe too, that all those blessings came to fulfillment in Christ Jesus. You will be All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. We were speaking of Jesus Christ, who is our blessing. It's done. 2,000 years ago, blessing done. Lord, I need you to bless me. I've done it. If you've watched the prayer remix from Louis Giglio, you'll know what I'm talking about now. Lord, I need you to bless me. I've already blessed you. Lord, but I need this little gift now. Well, I've given you the ultimate gift. It has been given. It's done. Blessing done. Past tense. The next scripture is as amazing. Actually, I think this one's more amazing. For out of his fullness, the superabundance of his grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace. Amplified says spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Make a note, this is not the gift like you think it is. It's not the blessing that you think it is. It's the fullness of God, which is being, it comes, it rolls one after the other. They just keep coming. They are packed. Like, I can't even say CDs, because you know when CDs are. They're like packed in, do you guys still have CD racks? It's like packed one after the other, the blessings that come in into God. Man, I'm getting old. So we can see that it has given. We have received every spiritual blessing. 2 Peter 1 verse 3, there are many of these. And his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. It has been done. It has been done. Lord, but I need... it has been done. Lord, just this little stamp of approval. No, it has been done. All things work together for good. All things. And it has been done already. I think in summary, I just have to say one or two things and then we're going to close. And Christ has already blessed you completely. There is no greater blessing. He has given you all things pertaining to God and, to life and godliness. Life, godliness, they keep running in. The spiritual blessings are there. In every way you turn, there is a place where God is specifically blessing you. In the hardship, in the difficulty, in the tribulation, in the trial, in the positives, in the negatives, the blessing of God is so amazing that you can have hope. It's just like, I'm in Christ Jesus, and therefore all things work together for good. It doesn't look that great at the moment, but Lord, I know that through this difficulty, you have a plan, and it may not be that that plan is in my lifetime. It may be for my kids, or it may be for the church. Lord, that's cool. As long as you live out your life through me. It's time that we die to self, people. It's time that we become at a place where God is able to use us despite our circumstances. That we don't become paralyzed by the bad circumstances in our lives. Blessing has everything to do with his bride, his church, and everyone other than yourself. The sooner you realize that, the better it's going to go for you. It takes the fairness thing out of it. It takes the offense thing out of it. It takes the expectation thing out of it. What can you expect from God? You can expect to be blessed. Oh, I don't feel like blessing. It's blessing. When things don't turn out the way that it happened, it's cool. I know God is in control. I prayed one morning for my little daughter. We were out at Citrusdal, and I saw there were a lot of bees. So I say to the Lord, which is a legitimate godly prayer to have, Lord, I pray that nobody will be stung by a bee today. And she gets stung by a bee. Now, you can either choose to become exceptionally offended with God. Where's the blessing in that? Or you can kind of say, you know what, Lord? I really don't understand the way you work. And thankfully, you don't have my mind. Your mind is so much massive. Much bigger than what my understanding is, because I clearly don't understand that. But one thing I do know is that all things work together for good for those who are in Christ Jesus, And it's cool. We will rest in this. We need to guard our hearts against offenses and our expectations of what in fact is a blessing. Lord, bless us on this journey. It may include some difficulty, but it's all blessed for you. And we need to experience that. The last thing that I wanted to say there is that blessing is found in all circumstances. Absolutely everywhere. God is good. So let us end off the service tonight, and we've done well for time, I think. So we can just let's just close our eyes for a moment and just receive from what God has for us. I really think that this is going to be an intimate moment where you need to do business with God. Ignore the person to your left, ignore the person to your right, and really let's just do business with God here tonight. I really believe that there are people here tonight who are offended with God. When God did not deliver in the way that you thought he would deliver, you were offended with him and you thought that he was not blessing you. It's time to say, Lord, you are good. It's time to say, Lord, I give you that offense that I have with you and I give it back to you, Lord. Lord, you are good and you have blessed me. And Lord God, even in that, Lord God, in that disappointment, you have blessed me. And I experienced a hurt against you, Lord, and for that I'm sorry. So some of you just need to do that this evening. Some of us need to come to that place where we say to God, Lord, I am willing to go through whatever, if it blesses you and it blesses the church. And it blesses your purposes. Lord, if it means that I am to suffer for the rest of my life with anything, Lord God, that you choose to allow to come across my way, I will gladly do it for you. Some of us need to die to self tonight. Say, Lord, I'm not seeking after everything that you can do for me. Lord, I'm seeking those things that I can do for you. And I want to see your kingdom come through and in my life, Lord, whatever the cost. If it means me losing my life for you, guys, this is real. Things are changing in our country. Things are changing in our world. We need to be at the place where we are blessed in Christ Jesus and willing to go through the fire for him. What is your expectation of God? Is your expectation one which is really just going to run through life without trials and tribulations? The Bible says, in this world you will have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. So be calm. I have overcome the world. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, with broken hearts. Lord, I come to you, Lord God, and I repent, Lord, of my moaning spirit, my moaning soul, the yearning, Lord God, for your hand. This, and not going for your face and your heart. Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us, that you would make your face shine upon us, Lord God, that you would be gracious to us, Lord, as we seek to do your will, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, that you are an amazing God. I want to thank you that you have blessed us so much through sending your son Jesus to die for us. Thank you that you did it all for us. And Lord, we as a church are sober in the fact, Lord, that we know, Lord God, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can do or think. It's beyond our comprehension, Lord. We give you our lives and we ask, Lord, that you would be glorified through us, whatever the cost. We are willing to be blessed for you, Lord. Lord, when we have material possessions, Lord God, we want to use them for your glory. When we go through trials and tribulations and difficulties, Lord, we want to experience them as blessings because we know that the fruit will be one of hope and character in your church. Help us to stand. Help us to stand strong, Lord, in that difficulty and those trials because you are awesome and you are worthy, Lord. We give you glory. In Jesus' name.